everyone. Welcome to RICS Monitor, the quarterly podcast series that tracks sentiment towards real estate across the globe. I'm Laura Kalugar, Senior Editor with Commercial Property Executive. The Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors in London just released its second quarter Global Commercial Property Monitor, which shows that the outlook for commercial real estate remains mixed, with both occupier and investment sentiment deteriorating. However, there are a couple of regions where the clouds aren't that gray. As usual, senior economist Tarun Parsons is here to talk about the trends emerging from the organization's latest survey. Welcome back, Tarun.
Hello.
First, please tell us more about the commercial property sentiment at an aggregate level. How does it compare to previous quarters?
While I wouldn't say there's been a dramatic change between the latest results and those from last quarter, I think in general, sentiment has become a little bit more cautious. Certainly, our headline indices suffered a bit of a setback again. I'm not talking about a steep decline here, but they did deteriorate slightly in Q2. And I think a lot of this appears to stem from kind of the stubbornness of inflation in many parts of the world. You know, this has again shifted interest rate expectations, bond yields have kind of risen as well. And you know, all else being equal, that just creates a tougher environment for commercial real estate due to higher borrowing costs. And it may lead investors to favour fixed income assets over property investments in this type of climate. So, as I say, slightly weaker results at the global level for those reasons. Of course, there are examples of markets outperforming the kind of global narrative, but the aggregate picture is one of caution at this stage.
Please talk about the regions that stand out in terms of strong results in the second quarter, and also where are investors and occupiers most pessimistic?
Some of the Middle Eastern markets really continue to display, I would say, the strongest outlook according to our feedback. So we have Saudi Arabia and UAE clearly come through again as being expected to deliver very solid returns for investors with capital value projections, really positive across all of the sectors that we cover for the coming 12 months. In terms of the areas that are on the more kind of pessimistic end of the scale right now, I think some parts of Europe are very subdued. You could really place France, Germany in that category. Hungary as well has experienced, I think, an even more severe inflation problem than most nations. And that's really taken its toll on commercial real estate in some of the kind of Central and Eastern European markets as well. It isn't just Europe, though. I think Qatar would be one worth highlighting in contrast to some of the other markets within that region. I think following the Football World Cup, demand has really dropped back across the nation, and prospects for capital values and rental growth appear quite gloomy. So those would be my picks if I had to kind of highlight best and worst performers.
Mm-hmm. With the stubborn inflation, as you named it earlier, credit conditions have only been deteriorating, and it seems that interest rates will likely continue to rise going forward. How do investors and occupiers across the world view the credit climate today?
Yeah, as I alluded to earlier, it's credit conditions, they continue to kind of tighten at the global level. When the data for that series is disaggregated, I think Europe has seen the most significant kind of worsening in the lending climate during Q2, and also the Americas has continued to see that tightening in the availability of credit as well, although maybe the story is perhaps a little bit more advanced in nations such as the United States compared to parts of Europe. So it was last quarter where our measure of credit conditions returned its kind of weakest reading on record across the United States. And although there's still a deeply negative reading this quarter, it hasn't gotten any worse. Whereas for Europe, it is the latest or the current feedback around the lending environment that is more negative than it was before. So I think that the associated headwinds with that were very visible in the latest results across Europe.
And when it comes to asset classes, office is still suffering the most, but the downturn in office demand is region and country specific, as the report found. Where is office demand most under pressure?
Yeah, that downturn in the office sector, I would say, is most prominent across North America and Europe. So if we look at Europe, I think the downward trend in occupier demand for office space kind of gathered gathered pace quite notably between Q1 and Q2. And that's the case across virtually all of the European markets that we cover. So if you look at France, Germany, the UK, Italy and Spain as well, I think the list goes on. All of them have seen a decline in tenant demand and investor demand as well, for that matter, across the office sector. And I think that the pressure for the office sector is coming from two angles in Europe, really. Obviously, the rise in remote working since the pandemic is a significant challenge for the sector, but also stricter energy efficiency requirements with regards to what premises can be leased out. These kind of rules will be coming into effect in the future. But that kind of backdrop is really causing difficulties for perhaps older office stock that would require investment and in some cases significant investment to bring it up to that suitable standard. So I think that's a large part of why we see the office sector struggling so much in Europe.
And what are the prospects for office space? How do expectations for primary and secondary markets compare?
Well, another kind of interesting element of all of this. So while secondary office space is really struggling, you know, rents and capital values are expected to retreat across many markets over the year ahead. This is in real contrast to expectations across prime office markets. So because of remote working, I think offices now need to offer a certain level of kind of amenities to attract staff in, to provide a better working environment than at home. And this has caused a reallocation of demand away from kind of lower spec stock towards best in class, so the highest kind of grade office space. And then again, this matter of energy efficiency regulations in parts of the world, I think, is also contributing to this shift as kind of newer, higher spec offices also fit those requirements much better than older stock. So while secondary office markets are struggling, I think the outlook is much more resilient for prime. Of course, the general macro headwinds at this current time are also going to influence trends to a certain degree. But I feel the longer term prospects appear considerably better for prime versus secondary offices.
Mm-hmm. The report also includes a special mention about alternative sectors. Why do these sectors continue to appeal to investors?
I think the growth in alternative sectors is really a function of kind of changing business and consumer preferences. Whereas, for example, retail in some parts of the world has really come up against it with so much more spending taking place online. These type of structural shifts are going to benefit some of the kind of alternative commercial real estate asset classes. So the use of data centers is really expanding, given how much more digital activity there is. And the outlook over the next few years is very solid. You could say the fundamental drivers are in much better shape for alternatives compared to some of the more mainstream or more traditional sectors, such as office and retail, notwithstanding my comments on kind of prime office markets. And then you have sectors such as student housing, aged care facilities, and even kind of multifamily residential, where demand for such living spaces continues to grow. And so I think investors see the relative kind of income producing potential for alternative assets as being kind of stronger, stronger near-term growth potential compared to some of the more traditional sectors.
Now, let's focus on results for each world region. We'll start with APAC, where the headline sentiment is dragged down by weaker results in Hong Kong, China, and Japan. How is the post-COVID recovery going in this region? If I'm not mistaken, China was a standout performer in the previous survey. What changed?
Yes, that's quite a big feature of the latest feedback. Actually, last quarter, you're right, that there was a lot more optimism surrounding China and the potential bounce back following the removal of COVID restrictions. But that rebound appears to have been very short lived. This quarter, sentiment has retreated, demand's fallen back, and the outlook for values and rents is clearly negative once again in the near term. And I think that's quite in keeping with the general macroeconomic news flow coming from China. GDP growth has kind of failed to meet expectations, and policymakers are looking towards kind of stimulus measures to try and reinvigorate momentum. So obviously the disappointing results in China have a large bearing on the headline Asia Pacific picture. But there are still a number of markets displaying much more solid growth right now. And I would highlight India and Singapore that in that respect have been consistently returning solid results for the past year or so. So both are seeing strong demand growth across all sectors and are expected to deliver recent returns for investors over the next 12 months. But China being so dominant across the region really has turned that narrative from a bit more optimism last quarter to more of a cautious outlook this time.
One of the world regions where the investment market continues to struggle, as you previously said, is Europe. How bad is the situation on the continent, and are there any pockets of resilience?
There are some pockets of resilience in Europe, but mainly at the kind of sector level in terms of industrials and logistics are still generally expected to produce positive rental growth over the next 12 months. And I think that's a function of still very low vacancy rates across the sector and reasonably solid demand. Okay, demand is not as robust as what we were seeing in 2021 and through the early part of last year. And that's just mainly due to the tougher economic climate in general. But overall rental growth prospects across the industrial sector are positive over the near term. Unfortunately, away from that, the results are kind of overall rather downbeat for Europe. You know, headline investment inquiries suffered a renewed setback as a result of the rising interest rate expectations, and that is expected to translate into a further fall in all sector average capital values over the year ahead. And I think retail and secondary offices in particular are bearing the brunt of that decline.
The only world region in which most investors and occupiers sense the commercial real estate market is in an upturn phase of the cycle is the Middle East and Africa. What is causing that optimism? What can you tell us about demand metrics in the region?
I think what's particularly interesting in some of the Middle Eastern markets like Saudi Arabia and the UAE is that international investment demand is accelerating and kind of further sustaining this upturn across commercial real estate. So I think that's most likely a result of the rather kind of subdued picture elsewhere across the globe. Investors perhaps don't feel that there's a significant amount of upside in some of the more global markets right now. And that's led them to look at places like Dubai and Riyadh in the search of return. So for Saudi Arabia, actually, our investor, international investor demand metric hit a fresh record high in Q2. And that's across all of the sectors that we track. So it looks as if the real contrast between the near-term prospects for the markets across the Middle East and the rest of the world is really fueling some strong international investor interest, which is then kind of further driving this expansion and kind of disparity between the global markets and the Middle East.
And finally, the last region we'll refer to is North America. What do the results of the survey tell us about real estate sentiment in the US and Canada? What are the main differences between these countries' economies?
So when comparing the two markets, I think it seems that the conditions have stabilized in Canada, whereas sentiment remains a little bit more negative across the United States. It's not as if there's a kind of a wildly different picture between the two, but the US office sector is really dragging down the headline averages, I think, to a greater extent. And then in Canada, the industrial sector is quite the opposite. It's really gathering momentum quite smartly now. Our measure of occupier demand for industrials in Canada has accelerated in each of the last three quarters. And that's really offsetting some of the negativity that you're getting in other market sectors. So if you compare that to the US, although our industrial demand metric is also positive, it's more modest than in Canada, and there's no evidence of an acceleration. In fact, the latest reading is quite a bit softer than this point a year ago. So the point I'm making is that the weaker performing sectors appear to be under more pressure in the United States, requiring a further downward adjustment in values in some instances. And then the more resilient portions of the market, such as industrials, are more upbeat in Canada, which explains the, I think, discrepancy in the headline statistics between the two nations.
Considering all of this, what should real estate players expect for the second half of the year?
I think it's still looking like a tricky landscape for policymakers to navigate. I think if you go back to the beginning of the year, or perhaps the end of last year, there was an expectation or at least a hope that interest rates could be lowered, or you know, that easing cycle may begin towards the end of 2023, at least in terms of monetary policy from some of the world's largest central banks. But that very stubborn inflation has made it unlikely, or very unlikely now, and it seems that rates could still be heading higher between now and the end of the year. And there's also the expectation that they could stay at these more elevated levels for longer. So of course that it all still depends on inflation. The picture could change very quickly if there was a surprise cooling inflation, for instance. But I think the more common theme over recent months has been more sticky or stubborn price growth than had been hoped for. And I suspect this will lead to some investors continuing to take a wait and see approach. And it does feel like maybe a lowering in borrowing costs, or maybe at least that being in sight on the horizon, that's really what might be needed to kickstart activity. And how long that will take to come through is obviously incredibly uncertain. But for now, I don't see convincing reasons to expect economic growth more generally to improve to a great extent between now and the end of the year. And that could also mean more of the same for commercial property.
Ferran, thank you very much for your time and for sharing all these insights.
My pleasure.
Thank you all for listening. Check out the CPU website regularly for the latest real estate news, trend stories, and podcasts.